You're listening to Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. In Haiti, a group of artists is making a name for themselves by creating huge metal sculptures and showing them on the streets. They call themselves Haiti's Resistance Artists, and their work speaks to the devastation following the 2010 earthquake and the stark separation between the country's rich and poor. Reese Ehrlich has their story.
Off a winding 3-foot-wide dirt path next to Port-au-Prince's main street stand dozens of huge metal sculptures. An 8-foot-tall figure with a long face seems to play an electric keyboard with hands made of coiled springs. A neighborhood child plucks a rubber band on the sculpture and pretends to sing. The sculpture was created by Franz Jacques, who goes by the name Giotto. He's one of Haiti's most famous found metal artists. He co-founded a movement called Resistance Artists that emerged from the working-class neighborhoods of Port-au-Prince some 12 years ago. Giotto uses pliers and scissors to assemble everything from radiators to human skulls into sculptures. He hauls hunks of metal out to a street corner and rents welding equipment from workmen who normally repair cars. What do the men who work on the car doors think of your art?
Right now they've started to understand him, but before they said that he's crazy.
Just around the corner, through another series of narrow dirt alleyways, an empty lot is filled with more metal sculptures. André Eugène, one of the other founders of Resistance Artists, shows off a 6-foot-high snake, a representation of a voodoo deity. In Haiti, voodoo is recognized as a legitimate religion, and Eugène says it has a bigger cultural impact than Christianity.
It's not exactly voodoo has a big impact on my work, because I use all the materials.
Voodoo is an integral part of Haitian culture, so I use it in my work. It's not that I'm inspired by voodoo, it's just part of the landscape of Haiti, so it's also in the work.
The Resistance Artist's voodoo-tinged themes always dealt with death as a normal cycle of life.
Before the earthquake, I used to put powder on the sculptures for an artistic motif.
Perhaps a way of showing the pallor of death. But that powder took on new meaning after the 2010 earthquake, which killed an estimated 316,000
people. After the earthquake, they had to rescue people under the rubble, and people being pulled under the rubble looked just like his sculptures.
What they produced right after the earthquake, of course, would have been different because we were all in a very big shock.
Axel Lieto owns an art gallery in the hillside suburb of Pétionville. She says the Resistance Artists' focus on Haiti's problems, along with their avant-garde style, makes them unpopular with the country's wealthy art collectors. Few Haitians buy their work, and in turn, the artists hold the Haitian elite in contempt. Lieto says the mere act of living and creating work in the streets is a form of resistance, hence the group's name.
They are not waiting for galleries to show their work. They are opening their doors to foreigners. Living in that kind of environment is very unusual. So I think they are expressing something very strong. Their presence and their actions are, in a way, a protest against the way things are in Haiti.
Despite the way things are right now in Haiti, with thousands still homeless and an ineffectual government, André Eugène and the other resistance artists don't want Americans to see Haitians just as victims.
The Haitian people, they resist. They're people that have a lot of resistance. And the artists, they're the vanguard. They express that existence in the work. The artists express what the people are doing.
C'est artistes qui travaillent pour faire ouais Haïti d'une autre façon.
And what the people are doing is rebuilding Haiti, physically and culturally. For NPR News, I'm Reese Ehrlich.
Coming up, David Downey set out on a 750-mile walk across France. His book, Paris to the Pyrenees, follows his trek across roads built by Romans and paths forged by pilgrims. But even after his journey's end, he still wonders about what he found.
I set out with a zillion questions in my head, and I didn't come back with a lot of answers. I came back with more questions.
That's in the next part of All Things Considered from NPR News.